Yasoda Nandana Brajajana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Brajajana Ranjana Jamunati Ravana Chadi Jamunati Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Prabhupada, 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 Jaya, Prabhupada, Jaya, Prabhupada, Jaya. Jaya, Prabhupada, 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 Prams of Gaho, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Shiva Sri Gaur, Bhakti Vrinda Ki Jai, Sri Sri Radha Krishna, Gopa Gopida, Shama Kunda, Radha Kunda, Giri Govardhan Ki Jai, Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai, Navadut Dham Ki Jai, Ganga Jamuna Tulasi Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Ananda Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai, Samavetta Bhakti Vrinda Ki Jai, Go Premanandi, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasta Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niki Namini Namaste Sarasvata Deva Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shanivari Pashatare Shatarane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sri Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Reading from Srimad Bhavam Canto 10 Chapter 41 Verse 1 Sri Sukha Uvacha Stuvatastasya Bhagavan Darsha Yitva Jalevapu Bhuya Samaharat Krishna Nato Natyam Ivatmanaha. Sri Sukha Uvacha. Sukadeva Goswami said, Stuvata, while praying, Tasya, he, Bhagavan, Supreme Lord, Darshayatva, having shown
Jale in the water of Apu, his personal form, Buyaha. Again, Smaharat withdrew. Krishna, Sri Krishna, Nataha, an actor, Natyam, performance, Eva, as Atmanaha, his own. Translation, Sukadeva Goswami said, while Akura was still offering prayers, the Supreme Lord Krishna withdrew his form that he had revealed in the water, just as an actor winds up his performance. Purport, Lord Krishna withdrew from Akura's sight the Vishnu form along with the vision of the spiritual sky and its eternal inhabitants. When Akura saw the vision disappear, he came out of the water and quickly finished his various ritual duties. He then returned to the chariot, astonished. Lord Krishna asked Akura, have you seen something wonderful on earth, in the sky or in the water? From your appearance, we think you have. Sri Akura said, whatever wonderful things the earth, sky, or water contain, all exist in you. Since you encompass everything, when I am seeing you, what have I not seen? And now that I am seeing you, O Supreme Absolute Truth, in whom reside all amazing things on the earth, in the sky, and in the water, what amazing things could I see in this world? Purport, Akura has now realized that Krishna is not merely his nephew. With these words, Akura, the son of Gandini, began driving the chariot onward. At the end of the day, he arrived in Mathura with Lord Balaram and Lord Krishna. Wherever they passed on the road, O king, the village people came forward and looked upon the two sons of Vasudeva with great pleasure. In fact, the villagers could not withdraw their eyes from them. Nanda Maharaj and the other residents of Vrindavan, having reached Mathura ahead of the chariot, had stopped at a garden on the outskirts of the city to wait for Krishna and Balaram. Purport, Nanda and others reached Mathura first because the chariot carrying Krishna and Balaram was delayed by Akura's bathing. After joining Nanda and the others, the Supreme Lord Krishna, the controller of the universe, took humble Akura's hand in his own and smiling spoke as follows. Lord Krishna said, take the chariot and enter the city ahead of us, then go home. After resting here a while, we will go to see the city. Akura said, O Master, without the two of you, I shall not enter Mathura. I am your devotee, O Lord, so it is not fair for you to abandon me, since you are always affectionate to your devotees. Come, let us go to my house with your elder brother, the cowherd man, and your companions. O best of friends, O transcendental Lord, in this way, please grace my house with its master. I am simply an ordinary householder attached to ritual sacrifices, so please purify my home with the dust of your lotus feet. By that act of purification, my forefathers, the sacrificial fires, and the demigods will all become satisfied. By bathing your feet, the exalted Bali Maharaj attained not only glorious fame and unequaled power, but also the final destination of pure devotees. The water of the Ganges has purified the three worlds, having become transcendental by bathing your feet. Lord Shiva accepted that water on his head, and by that water's grace, the sons of King Sagara attain to heaven. O Lord of Lords, Master of the Universe, O you whose glories it is most pious to hear and chant, O best of the Yadus, O you whose fame is recounted in excellent poetry, O Supreme Lord Narayan, I offer my obeisances. I offer you my obeisances. The Supreme Lord said, I will come to your house with my elder brother, but first I must satisfy my friends and well-wishers by killing the enemy of the Yadu clan. Purport, Akura glorified Krishna in verse 16 as Yaduttama, the best of the Yadus. Sri Krishna here confirms this by saying, in effect, since I am the best of the Yadus, I must kill the enemy of the Yadus, Kamsa, and then I will come to your house. So, this chapter describes the entrance of Krishna and Balaram into Mathura, which is, we can say, a little bit different from the whole previous 11 years of Krishna's life and the descriptions in the Bhagavatam up to this point concerning Krishna's pastimes. The difference, of course, is that though it's very close, it's not so far away. Mathura is not a great distance away from Vrindavan. Still, it is a very different place. So often in the Bhagavatam and other scriptures, Mathura and Dwarka are called Pura, or cities. And Vrindavan is called Grama, village, or Vana, forest. The setting is very different. The city is full of people and doing various occupations, etc. There, of course, is a king involved. Kshatriyas are everywhere. Many beautiful women are there. And in the village and in the forest, it is simply cowherd people and some aborigine women, the Pulindas. Men and women are there also, and animals. So in the up until this chapter, we've had a description of Vrindavan with forest, trees, river, animals, cows, etc., and the simple people. Yeah. So a Mathura, though not very far away, is quite different. Of course, now it's different because Kamsa is there, but actually it was the city of Ugrasena, of the Yadus. And being a city, it was full of all sorts of people. And many Kshatriyas were there. The whole Yadu dynasty was housed there. And from there they ruled other places. Very active with many types of people, and etc. We can say the culture was different, not so simple as that of the village. So there is a great change which will take place when Krishna comes to this place. And of course he is not, uncomfortable in doing so, since he's the Supreme Lord. He is aware of all situations and adapts to all situations instantly. The change from one place to the other is quite drastic. Huh? So in this first part of this chapter, we will see how Krishna gradually looks at this place and gets his first impressions of the place. Huh? Because there's a continuity of Krishna and Balaram from Vrindavan to here. Right? So they come to Mathura, and then they must adapt to that particular place, Mathura. So as we see here, Krishna and Balaram arrive at the edge of the city, so they don't go directly into the city. Nanda Maharaj is camped outside the city. So Krishna stays there. And he tells Akura to go to his house in the city, and he will come to him later after he has killed Kamsa. So from this point then, Krishna, of course, enters the city, and he looks around in the evening time. He sees various things. He's impressed with the various buildings and the people, etc. And he performs several pastimes. Then, of course, after that, next day, he prepares for the killing of Kamsa in the arena after killing the elephants. So very quickly, the killing of Kamsa takes place. There's no delay, really. As soon as Krishna arrives, then next day all the preparations are made for this whole type of affair. So very, very quickly everything happens. And Kamsa is killed, and then after his death ceremony, etc., Ugrasena is again installed on the throne. And Krishna tells the inhabitants of Braja, headed by Nanda, to return, and he will come back a little bit later. And that more or less ends the... And then, of course, there's the one section dealing with Krishna's sojourn in the Gurukul of Sandipani Muni. And then after that, we get Krishna going to Dwarka after Jarasandha attacks the city many times.
than the rest of the Bhagavatam is about the life in Dwarka. So there's a brief description of life in Mathura, not so much. And we'll get a more elaborate description of life in Dwarka later on. Krishna, of course, stayed there many, many years, whereas he did not stay so many years in, or such a long time in Mathura. In fact, quite not much at all, maybe a year or so or whatever like that. And then he left and went to Dwarka. So there's a little bit of a description of Mathura, but the two are more or less very similar, because the Yadus are in both places. So the mood is the same, that is seeing Krishna as Supreme Lord at the same time. He has his particular form that does not age beyond that of a cowherd. But now he dresses up like a royal member of the Yadus, that's all. So very, very similar in that respect. There's a slight difference, of course, because, as I said, he goes to Dwarka and he resides there for a long time. And there he marries 16,000 queens, so more or less he rules that city, though technically Ugrasena is still the king of the Yadus. Everyone is serving Krishna at that time. Whereas in Mathura, Krishna is there, and then he gets his education, he goes off to the Gurukul, and then he fights a few demons, and then he goes off. So not in such a fixed position in Mathura, but in Dwarka, very fixed as the leader of everyone, and worshipped by all. So therefore the power manifested and the respect given to Krishna is much more in Dwarka and less in Mathura. So in one sense we'd think, well, yeah, because the descriptions of pastimes in Dwarka, a lot of descriptions are there, that form is superior to the form in Mathura. But yet we see in Nectar Devotion the opposite. The form in Dwarka is called Purna, and the form in Mathura is called Purnatara. More perfect, better. It's better. Even though the greatness is manifested more in Dwarka. And of course it's best in Vrindavan. So the reason for that classification is that the best means that there is no restriction because of a display of greatness in Krishna in Vrindavan. So therefore it's the best. Mathura, there is some restriction. And in Dwarka, more restriction because, as I said, Krishna is established in his position there and he's showing his power and greatness. He kills more demons, etc. He gets more worship from everyone. So his powers are manifested more there. Consequently, the sweetness decreases slightly. So therefore, Krishna is Purna in Dwarka with some sweetness, but more power. And in Mathura, less powers, more sweetness. And in Vrindavan, most sweetness and no power, or they don't recognize the power at all. So that is the classification of these cities. So there is some leelas that take place here in Mathura, but not so many as compared to Dwarka. Nevertheless, it's classified as somewhat superior in terms of the form of Krishna, because there's not so much emphasis upon his greatness. And of course they educate him, etc., and they're still treating him somewhat as a child. In these verses we see that Akura has offered his prayers, and then suddenly Vishnu and Anantashesha disappear. He withdraws that form. The Lord withdraws that form after showing it to Akura. So that's Krishna. He's withdrawing that form. So the manifestation of that Vishnu form with Ananta is under the control of Krishna. Not the opposite, that Vishnu manifests. Krishna is manifesting this form. And then at will, he withdraws that. And then Akura stops his prayers and then returns to the chariot. And then he sees Krishna there. So this particular verse has a analogy here, like an actor in a play. So an actor acts in a play, and after the play is over, he takes off the costume, and we know he's not that person anymore. But we cannot say that about Krishna and manifestation of Vishnu, because they're all eternal. So they don't. It's not a false in any way, whereas the actor actually is making a false appearance. Yeah? So the analogy is not exact. So we should not think that this means that, therefore, the display of Vishnu and Ananta was a false display, like an actor putting on clothes and then taking them off, and then he says, ah, this is not real. Huh? So we should not think that this display was unreal. The analogy is given, it is like the actor in the drama, simply for the point of showing how it was a temporary manifestation. The Lord showed it, and then He withdrew it at will. Huh? So under the control of the Lord, He can manifest this form, and He can make it disappear. Just as the actor, when he wants to, can stop the performance and say, oh, this isn't true, and he take off his costume and say, no, I'm not this actor, and I'm not this person, I'm so-and-so. So in that sense, it was a temporary manifestation under the control of the Supreme Lord. On the other hand, there's great difference because, of course, actors are material, dramas are material, whatever. But the vision that of Ananta and Vishnu is not illusory, it's not false, it's not temporary, it's actually eternal. So it disappears, but Vishnu and Ananta are not false. So that's the big difference there. So the analogy is used only to show the temporary nature and how it's under the control of the Supreme Lord as the actor manifests a character and then makes it disappear at his own will. In that sense, the comparison is there. So, and this is, of course, this same type of analogy is given in other places in the Bhagavatam as well. So it doesn't mean it's false. It's simply under the control of the Lord and manifested or just made to disappear at the will of Supreme Lord. So Krishna makes this form appear and disappear. And Akrura saw this form, and after it disappeared, he did not think, oh, that was false, it was an illusion. No. He also accepts this, he actually was the Supreme Lord. But he also knows that it was Krishna who was not different from him, and he was in control of this form. So he has respect for him, and therefore the whole series of verses right there where Krishna asks Balarama, Akura, did you see any wonderful, some wonderful in the earth, sky, or air? You look very different if you come out of the water and you're all full of joy, etc. And then Akura says, no, actually, yes, I did see something, but actually now I know that everything's in you, that you are this form also. And what did Akura saw? He saw the form of Vishnu with all the different devatas praising him, etc. And he's in control of everything. He's in control of the material world and everything in the material world. So in other words, then he sees Krishna and says, ah, Krishna is this form. Who's in control of everything? Everything is within Krishna, just like everything's in the universal form. So he has a proper understanding. It's not that this was an illusory form or anything. It was a true form of Vishnu and Ananta. And he also realizes that it is under the control of Krishna. So Krishna also is the controller of everything, etc. And this realization increases his respect for Krishna. Well, this is quite unlike the attitude of the people of Vrindavan. If they see this, they will reject it. And they say, oh, Krishna, everything is in you. They will not say that at all. But Akura is natural for him to say this. Similarly, when Arjuna saw the universal form, then again, a similar type of thing. I didn't realize that you were the Supreme Lord, etc. But now I understand that you are supreme and everything is in you and you're worthy of all respect. So that shows the natures of these people, Akrura, the Yadus, and the Pandavas, is different from the people of Vrindavan. Even if they see the same thing, their response is quite different. So the by their nature, Akrura and the Yadus and the Pandavas associate Krishna with, or they accept him as Supreme Lord, and they accept his greatness. At the same time, of course, they realize his special nature as Krishna, their relative. Whereas the people of Vrindavan, even if they see the greatness in the Krishna, they're not attracted to that at all. They're not impressed with that. And they think, oh, that's not part of Krishna, that's something else. Maybe it's illusion, maybe it's some trick or whatever like that. And they find some excuse to dismiss it. Because it interferes with the intensity of their love. They will diminish their love, so they discard it completely. Their love for Krishna is more important than all of this. But we'll see that the love of Akrura or Pandavas or Yadus is intrinsically involved with this idea of the greatness of the Supreme Lord. So they don't reject it. It's essential to their realization. So in other words, by nature, they are different types of devotees. So, why are they different? Individuals. Individuals have different preferences. Individuals mean different. They have their own preferences. So some prefer this type of realization, some prefer the realization in Vrindavan. So, Bhagavatam presents both for us. Krishna without the greatness and Krishna with the greatness. Different devotees will choose which one they prefer. And then they will mold their sadhana according to that particular goal. And then they achieve that goal. So according to the sadhana, you achieve the result. So that's why we have various forms of Krishna described here, the Vrindavan Krishna, the Mathura Krishna, and the Dwarka Krishna, as well as other forms like Narasimha, Rama, Matsya Kurma, etc. Because different jivas will have attraction to different forms. So, of course, Bhagavata's purpose is to try to attract everybody to Krishna. And, of course, the recommendation of Narada is that everybody in Kali Yuga should worship Krishna, not the other forms. Still, others may be attracted to Vishnu, Narayan, etc., Rama, etc. So, if that is so, then no problem, but emphasis is upon Krishna.
Well, we see many times that when Krishna is killing the demons, especially Nanda Maharaj or Yashoda, they're praying to Lord Vishnu, who Lord Vishnu is favoring. My question is, since they don't know Krishna as God, and they're worshipping Vishnu, so they'll be attracted to Vaikuntha form, because for them Krishna is real, like they love him like he is not God. But they always seek protection from Vishnu. So Gita Krishna says, Yanti Deva.
Well, we'll find that in Vrindavan, actually, they take shelter of Krishna. Like in the Govardhan pastime, when the rain started, they all ran to Krishna and said, what to do? Please help us, like this.
They didn't treat him as
even
God.
Though he's a young boy, they know he's not God or whatever like that. They have this natural attraction for him, and somehow he's the shelter of everything because their bliss arises through their relationship with him. So even though they don't expect him to act like God, still they expect there's going to be some sort of reciprocation on his part. All the people of Vrindavan take Krishna as their protector, even though he's a young boy, because he is the one that gives them bliss. And they've seen he killed various demons, etc., like Kaliya, etc. So they do have that faith in Krishna. And when he does kill the demons, they said he's done so because he's got the assistance of Vishnu. And Vishnu is actually doing it for him or whatever like that.
We see that, you know, the purpose of whole Bhagavatam to make one devotee of Lord Krishna. But we see even there are also other avatars also mentioned in the Bhagavatam. Okay, like you see, if you say the holy name is the only way for the Kali Yuga people. That's why we say the Harinamame Kevalam. So instead of mentioning different avataras, there should be one that Krishna Eva Kevalam. That could be mentioned. But different incarnations given, and only 10 can to is dedicated to Krishna, not other incarnation.
Well, the of course, everyone should worship the Lord, but that cannot be forced. But we can give, the Bhagavan gives that advice. And in general, because Krishna is most attractive, people will be attracted to Krishna more than the other forms. But there may be other persons attracted to other forms. As we see in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, Murari Gupta was attracted to Rama, Anupama. He was attracted to Rama also. And there was no interference on the part of Lord Chaitanya to tell them to worship Krishna. So they were allowed to do so. But in general, the emphasis is upon Krishna for all the ignorant people. So the more exposure they get to that, the more they become attracted. But not everybody. There's exceptions also. Other people may have attraction for other forms. But it's a general principle.
Purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam that, you know, to Shiva only Vishnu Tattva, we can say. We can take the Vishnu Tattva, means Vishnu or Krishna or, you know, a lot only, not other any demigods.
Yeah, definitely. And of course, Bhagavatam is emphasizing Krishna as the most attractive form because he just appeared. And if they do worship Krishna, they get a higher result, more bliss. The other reason why it's there is because Bhagavatam is a Purana, and the Puranas have all these different subject matters in it. So then it includes discussion of the different forms of the Lord, etc., as one of its topics. And one of the questions of the sages is you discuss the different avatars of the Lord. So therefore, that is given by Sukadev, the different forms.
Did they have temples in Vrindavan that Vajrasis go to temple and worship? Because Dwapara Yuga has meant that temple worship is their form to achieve the highest form, absolute truth.
Do they have temples?
No, those days, during the 5,000 years when Krishna was there.
Well, you'll see temples, and you'll see in, of course, not just for Krishna and Vishnu, but you'll see temples for the Devatas, etc. Rukmini went to the Durga temple, etc. The people of Vrindavan went to a Shiva temple in Ambika. They went once to Gujarat, I think it was, after that temple, Ambika temple, and then they came back. And within Vrindavan itself, it describes, like in Gopal Champu, that there's Nanda Maharaj has a temple within his courtyard of Vishnu. So there are many, many temples there within in the place. And of course, you'll see in the Leelas, we describe that Radharani goes to one place where there's a Surya temple, etc., like this. So there's various temples there.
Raja said that only Krishna can manifest the Narayana form. So I want to understand this part in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita where Gopakumara sees Narayana with Lakshmi and Dhara, but he gets the vision of Krishna with Radha and Chandravali. When Gopakumara is in Vaikuntha, it is explained that when he saw Narayana with Dhara and Lakshmi, he felt he had the vision of Krishna with Radha and Chandravali. So how is it that when he saw Narayana, he saw Krishna?
Oh, well, it's described there that Narayana would manifest some pastimes like Krishna and cowherd boy form, etc. And then Gopakumara would play his flute in front of everyone like this, like that. And then sometimes he would see him manifest a particular form like that in a special place. And that would give delight to Gopakumara. In one sense, yes, the Vishnu form can manifest a Krishna form, but it's not exactly the same, and therefore Gopakumara was not really satisfied with that form. It was a manifestation from Vishnu that looked like Krishna, we could say, like that. Similarly, it's described in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita that even the associates of Vishnu can manifest various forms, and that it says that the Kumaras, who are Shaktivesh avatars, manifested avatar forms also. So they have an appearance like that because they have great powers, but it's actually not the same, won't have the same power as Varaha or Narsimha, but they can manifest those particular appearances like that. So they can do that, but it's not filled with the same qualities, obviously.
And in the Gopika Gita, there are references where, like, the gopis say that you are not just the son of Yashoda, you are Antaratma Drik. So that is a conception of seeing Krishna as God. So how is it that they are uttering those words? What do they mean?
Well, it can be taken out of, in the intensity of their love, they can ascribe certain aspects of powers that look like powers of God, but actually it's more for, invoking their own love. So if we take Antaratma, or he's like the Paramatma or whatever, then simply that Krishna knows their very heart, in the sense of he knows their love for him or whatever like that. So they take it in another way, even though we can take it as, you know, an aspect of God. They don't take it like that. Just that they can attribute certain powers of knowing to Krishna because they want him to acknowledge their love.
Different planets or the same sets of jivas which participate in the Leela of Krishna, do the same souls go to the different planets or the new sets of
For the same Krishna's
for the pastimes?
But, you know, many do. Some may be different. But, of course, we have the eternal associates of the Lord, like the Yadus and the Brajabasis and Nanda, etc. So they will go, obviously. And actually, they're simultaneously in many universes.
Simultaneously, they'll be. Now, even now, we say that he'll be performing his pastime in some universe.
Yeah.
So even Yashoda and Nanda also will be simultaneous.
Yeah. And new devotees also may go, and then some who are coming out of the material world can join those pastimes also and enter into those pastimes. Like the sages of Dandakaranya came into the pastimes, and and the Upanishads came in also. Yeah.
No. This Akrura saw under the water this form, and whatever Akrura saw that form, which was standing or sitting on the chariot. Was there any difference? Because see, the form of the Lord was taking worship. Worship means that because Krishna is here like 12 years, and their Lord is like a Lord, Supreme Lord, is not like 12 years. Correct. So there is a difference, I think, that form.
Difference.
Whatever Krishna, the Akrusa, was standing on the bank.
Yeah.
And what was he was seeing under the water.
Mm-hmm. It was very different.
There is so much difference.
Very different. Yeah, because of Vishnu form with four arms and the snake.
Yeah.
And whereas Krishna Balaram, no snake, no four arms, cowherd boys.
Then how can he recognize that he is the same person? Because the form is not the
same. But he knew already. He will see when he was coming to Vrindavan, he was praising Krishna as Supreme Lord, etc. like this. He already knew that. Of course, he had learned from Vasudeva, etc. as well.
Then what is the purpose of showing this form under the water?
Well, because this gave a great appreciation to Akura, because he had this mixed type of perception of Krishna. He is Krishna, his relative, but he is also Supreme Lord. So he got appreciation for him by this, a great relish from it also, because he came out and he was different, so to speak. So he was thrilled by that form. So he appreciates that form, that Krishna is actually all of these other forms.
See, here, Akrura was, he was with Krishna. And when he went down, he saw that the Vishnu and Anantashesh was worshipping. But, some ordinary person might question that, the Vishnu is the source for the Krishna here. Because when Akrura saw this form, that Vishnu form, immediately he understood, there is no difference. There is no difference. This form, which he has seen.
No, but then what does he say here? He says when he gets back on the chariot, and then Krishna asks him the question, then he says, you actually are.
Yeah.
Everything's in you. So he realizes Krishna is that form also, but he's also Krishna, and Krishna is that form. So he doesn't think of him in any way inferior.